great to have you guys. Excited to get in the Word with you today. And a lot of great stuff in Revelation chapter 7. So open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7 as we continue on through the book of Revelation. And as you guys are finding your way there, let's pray and ask God just to really open up His Word to us. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for this morning. I thank You, God, for those that You've brought here. I thank You, Lord, for the book of Revelation, where You, God, revealed to us what's going to happen. There's a specific reason You did that, Lord, because You wanted us not to be afraid. You wanted us to know what to expect and what was going to happen. And so, Lord, thank You for showing us this. Lord, the world is blind, but You've opened our eyes, and we thank You for that. And I pray now You would further open our eyes this morning. I pray, God, You just work as a body. I pray You'd work individually. And I pray, God, You'd work nationally and around the world in Your church as we need You now more than ever. And so we thank You, Lord. I pray now You pour out Your Spirit on this time. And Lord, that You would, again, be the teacher. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, before we jump right into Revelation 7, it's amazing what I see going on and what you guys see going on. I think we need to lay a little bit of foundation here as we get into this. You know, I'm tempted. At the end of every year, I do a prophecy update. And again, this year, it seems like there's so much that's happening so fast that it's like every time we come together on Sunday morning, I want to fill you in on new things that are happening. And so some of those I'm going to do this morning. I'll try not to use everything now so we have something to share at the end of the year. But it's happening so quickly. Have you noticed? All I can say is my whole life, and again, I know this is our generation, and I'm not that old. Some of you may think I am, but I'm not that old. But the bottom line is that I've never seen things happening this rapidly, prophetically around the globe my entire life. I've been teaching these things for many, many years, 20-some years about prophecy, and I've never seen things moving as rapidly, happening so fast. And I've always believed that I would see it, that it would be our generation. But now that I'm watching it happen, and we're watching this unfold right before our very eyes, it gets very exciting, and it gets very, again, interesting. And it's like something you think, Lord, I felt that I'd see this, but I'm watching it happen. We are watching before our very eyes the end times process begin to unfold. And again, it's being used, and what's happening in our day right now is being used to speed up this process in such a rapid way. I used to wonder, how is this all going to happen where the entire world is going to be willing to join together as one government, the entire world be willing to come under that government and do whatever they say, and everyone be willing to lay down their freedoms? And I used to look at it and go, we live in America. This will never happen. It is happening. And it's happening through this COVID-19. Now, again, I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm not denying what's going on. I'm saying that it's being, I believe, overblown, which we'll talk about here more in just a moment, but it's being used in a spiritual sense. Remember, we have a spiritual battle going on. And the Bible says the enemy is going to begin, the spirit of Antichrist is going to move the entire world. As it says in 1 John, the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. And he's going to move us to unite together as a world government, coming under that world government with one world leader out of Europe. And it's interesting when you look at Daniel, it gives a picture of the 2 feet and the 10 toes, partly of clay, partly of iron. What it means is clay and iron don't like each other that much. You can mold them, you can put them together, but they don't stick together very good. And the picture God is giving us is the world is going to be forced into this mold. Some will like it, some won't like it, but it's going to happen. And we're watching it take place before our very eyes. Again, it's a spiritual battle, and I believe what we're seeing happening right now in our culture with this virus is a forerunner to the worldwide control of the Antichrist as he comes into power. Again, I'm not saying, as I said, that it's not something that's real. I'm saying that the enemy is using this to prepare us and to get us mentally prepared for what's coming. What I see is that Satan and the spirit of Antichrist is on the move. Now, if you look throughout history, you'll see this. If you go back, Satan's desire, the Bible tells us, is to be like God. His desire is to have the world worshiping him. He will have a slight moment in world history where the world will bow down to him. That's what we're looking at in Revelation. It's only for a brief moment, and God's going to allow it to basically separate out those that are with God and those that are not with God. But he's tried to do it prematurely throughout history. If you read in Generation about the Tower of Babel, at that point, they tried to form a world government with a leadership head at it. God split them up. God sent, remember, different languages to the peoples, and he split the peoples up. And then we move forward through Babylon and Alexander the Great when there were world powers that were in place, but God didn't allow it to advance to that. As we saw in 2 Thessalonians, God said the restrainer, he's restraining until it's time. So God said no at the Tower of Babel. God said no to Babylon. God said no to Alexander the Great. And then Rome came along. And once again, almost you would think, okay, this is it. The emperors are demanding that the world worship them as gods. And you had to pinch incense to the Roman emperors during that time. But God shut it down and said, no, it's not time. And Satan again was pushed back. Then we see recent times, Hitler. And once again, I think Satan tried to step forward and say, I'm going to take the world over now. Hitler even talked about a 1,000-year rule of the Third Reich. If you know anything about history, where do you think he got that? That was the spirit of Antichrist, because he knows that Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years. He's trying to take the place of Jesus Christ. And now we move to modern day. And I believe that's exactly what we're seeing today. Satan is rearing his head worldwide. He's using this worldwide pandemic to get the world to come under the governments for the sake of the good of everyone, to lay freedoms down, to get the mindset that government knows what's best and government will control and government will take care of and all these things that are happening. It's a move of the enemy. Now, here's the question. The question is God going to continue to restrain, or is God going to, again, let this go? Only time will tell. With all these other times, God has said no, no, no. At some point, God's going to say yes. You can move forward. And that's going to start the signal for this very end times we talk about, for the rapture of the church and the things we're looking about in Revelation. I personally believe that we're in that process. Now, that doesn't mean that God's not going to restrain things. Again, God will restrain until he says he's going to restrain. And we also can't look at what's happening in the world around us as to when the rapture is going to take place. Jesus said that could happen at any moment. He said, watch, watch, for you don't know when your master's coming. Be watching at all times. He wants every generation watching, because it's going to be a surprise event and we need to be watching for it. But the bottom line is I'm seeing things today and you're seeing things. I know for me that just a few months ago that I never would have believed is happening in our nation and in our world. There is a powerful spiritual blindness coming upon the world, and we were told it would happen. It's almost like this fog, like we had this morning, if you were up early enough, is falling upon the world, and the only one that can see are the believers. You guys have had your eyes open. The world doesn't have their eyes open. They can't see what's happening. And we stand back and watch it. To me, it's so obvious. I'm thinking, how in the world could the world ever know that the Bible says that we're all going to get some type of mark on our hand or our forehead that's going to control the whole world, and everybody's going to come under that government and allow this world leader to lead us all out of Europe with the world governments coming together? How in the world would we ever submit to that, knowing we've been told generation after generation by the Bible, and I'm watching everyone go, hey, that's a great idea. We need to bring the world together to solve these problems like COVID-19 and all these things. And people are willingly saying, you know what, we need to do this. I would have never dreamed it. But the Bible says that in the last days, God will send a delusion. God will send a fog, if you will. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you about how you understand, but the world doesn't. In context of the last days, in Daniel chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, it says this. And the angel, that is he, said to Daniel, go your way, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Now, much of Daniel was revealed to Daniel right then, and we've known it for centuries in the church. But there's a portion of Daniel that God said, I'm not going to reveal the whole thing until the very end. And as we get closer to the end, I'm going to show more things to the church. Have you noticed we're becoming more aware of what's going on? God is revealing. He's opening our eyes to see it because he wants us to know, he wants us to be comforted, and he wants us to be prepared. That's the whole point of telling prophecy. Sometimes when you share prophecy, people say, I'm afraid to hear that. No, you're missing the point of prophecy. It is so that you won't be afraid. I remember the first time, but I know it was traumatic because it sticks in my brain about getting a shot. You go as a kid and nobody tells you that you're going to get this sting in your arm, and suddenly you're like, you know, why didn't they tell me? And the next time I did the wise thing, I hid under the bed. Right? When they pulled me out of the bed, you go and you get your shot or whatever. But at least I knew I'd be okay. Okay, that stung a little bit, but I can handle that. Prophecy is to let you know things are going to get weird, but I'm in control. Everyone relax. That's why he tells us prophecy. That's why he shows us. And he says, I'll reveal more at the time of the end. Notice this. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You wonder, how can't the world see this? Why isn't everyone going, wait a minute, maybe we do need to deal with issues like viruses and all, but this whole digital tracking thing's freaking me out a little bit. Why don't we try something different? You'd think that would happen, right? No, China right now, we'll get to this later. I didn't bring that article with me today, and that's where I have to kind of stay focused here. But they're already saying, look, we suggest a worldwide digital data tracing system. Because it's the only way to make sure that everyone's been vaccinated and to keep up. And then for future events that happen, it's happening. You're not reading about it in the Bible, okay? You're watching it happen. Church, wake up. You're watching it. It's happening. You know, Jesus in his day, he rebuked those in his day because he was standing. The Messiah, the Savior of the world. The dead is being raised. The blind are seeing. The deaf are hearing. And they were like, we don't think we believe you. He said, you can predict the weather. You can look at the clouds and predict the weather, but you can't recognize the signs of the times. He rebuked his generation for not being able to see what was happening. Let us not be those that are rebuked by the Spirit of the Lord for not being able to see what's happening. Because it's happening right in front of our very eyes. Now, the world won't see it. They're going to think you're crazy, but you see it because your eyes have been opened. Again, in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 12, it talks about this delusion. Look what it says about the last days. It says, the coming of the lawless one, that is the Antichrist, in context, is according to the working of Satan. With all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to be able to do amazing things. Even call down lightning from heaven, the Bible says. So the world, they're going to believe him. He's going to have supernatural power. And supernatural power does not mean that someone is godly. Note that. Just because someone can do a miracle doesn't mean they're of the Lord. There's supernatural power given to the demonic realm as well. And he's going to have, again, Scott, how do you know the true person? The one that's lining up with the Word of God. Satan's not going to line up with the Word of God, but he's going to have this power. And notice what it says. It says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, note this, here's why, because they did not receive the love of the truth. I don't want your Jesus. I don't want your Bible. You keep all that to yourself. Okay, then you're going to be deluded. You're going to be under delusion. I'm going to allow you to be deceived. Since you've rejected the truth, I'm going to let you. That's what you want. You want deception? There you can have it. That's a scary place to be. And God says, if people choose that, he'll let them choose it. Notice this, verse 11, and for this reason, God will send strong delusion. Here's that fog that's falling upon the earth. God will send strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, what is the lie? Again, I think it's the whole package. The whole package of the world coming together to solve our problems, a new Savior rising up out of Europe. Again, we don't need Jesus. We don't need this church stuff. We can solve everything by science, and we'll get to that more in just a moment. But strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, notice it says strong delusion. What's shocking to me is the delusion that's already taking place. Now look, I want to just make a blanket statement. I've done this numerous times, but you may be visiting or new. I do believe, and some of you may say, well, I don't believe that. I do believe the virus is real. There's a real virus. And I think some people have died, but I think it's being strongly exaggerated to have, I think, as a headwinds and a prep in the spiritual realm. This is much larger than man and politics. Everybody wants to blame politics, and I know it's all over the internet and whatever, but here's the bottom line. This is much larger. This is a spiritual movement that is to prepare the world for what's coming. It's the enemy steering the world in the wrong direction. And again, there's a blindness that is shocking to me in this when it comes to even this particular virus. So although I acknowledge that the virus is real, what I find interesting, and I shared this last Sunday. Again, I want to share it just briefly because I know we had many people gone last Sunday due to a problem here. But I just very briefly, as you guys, you may have heard or may have not heard what I shared last week, a major study coming out of Denmark from Copenhagen. They did a major study over months. They called it the gold standard of scientific study. Highest level of discretion used in it. And they watched people that wore masks and people that didn't and followed them. And their conclusion, are you ready for this? It makes no difference whether you wear a mask or not. I have the article right here. And you can look it up online. This is the science. Why aren't you hearing this on the news? Why isn't anyone telling you this? There is a spiritual delusion going on. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be wise. Now, if you have people in your family that are vulnerable, should you protect them? Absolutely. If you yourself are vulnerable, should you wear a mask? Absolutely. We have a room set aside for those that are in that place. We're not judging you for that, and you're encouraged to do that. We welcome that. What I'm saying is something's not lining up. It's interesting, the second article that makes that even more interesting to me. Now, by the way, let me say this. Some of you from a doctor background, a nurse background, yes, this works in a controlled environment. If you have a surgical room and the mask is there and it's the proper mask and people aren't touching it all the time and changing them, it works. Here's the problem. Look what we're doing. I mean, this, excuse me, that's what we're doing and we're putting whatever. It doesn't work. Now, you would think they would say on the news, okay, look, let's just face it. Throw the mask in the trash. They're not working. But everybody use wisdom. Please use wisdom. be careful around people that are vulnerable, do this, do that. And you would think there'd be a logical balance to the science, but there's not. And that's how I see a larger spiritual delusion going on. In addition to that, this was 2 weeks ago. And by the way, this was a study that was accepted and being waited on by the world's authorities. This is not some fly-by-night, you know, conspiracy thing. We're talking Bible here. We're not talking these weird theories that are out there floating around. This one, this week, the 27th of November, John Hopkins, okay? Which, by the way, John Hopkins is one of the number one medical centers in the world. And John Hopkins did a major study about the death rate in America, trying to find out what's happening with COVID. And what are the, they said last year and this year, there's no difference in the death rate. And they're not quite sure why. They give reasons. They say if there's no difference, why are we seeing these huge numbers of all the people dying of COVID-19? I'm not denying that some have. I'm not a denier, okay? But I think there's something going on. And we need wisdom. And we need balance. And they're saying, or John Hopkins, it's the same death rate this year up through the 27th of November that it was last year. And the way they explain it is, in the article, you can look it up later, it says this, well, it's because more people, we had less heart disease die, and less this die, and less that die. So it made up the difference. Why did we suddenly go down in all these other deaths of these other diseases? And so stuff's being moved around. And so the world's not going to see that. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't know that. I'm just going to give you the science because that seems to be the big word today. And that's my job, is to show you what's out there. I don't know why it's not all over the news. I don't know why, other than the spiritual delusion. It's interesting. This right here from Knoxville Focus this last week, they said based on the number of people in Knox County, the total number in Knox County, COVID deaths, we've had 0.0003%, front page. And yet we're shutting down everything. Why? Because the world is under strong delusion. And the Bible said in the last days, God would send strong delusion. And that's what we're experiencing. Now, when it comes to this kind of stuff, again, I'm not saying, I know I keep repeating myself that we shouldn't be wise, but I think about Charles Spurgeon. You guys have heard me talk about Charles Spurgeon. He was a great evangelist in the 1800s. In 1854, a worldwide cholera pandemic outbreak was, people were dying all over the world. People were dying there in his area. As a matter of fact, he had some people die in his church. But here's what he said. There were a church of thousands. He said, we're going to continue to meet. He said, because God has called us to gather together. And here's the bottom line. Although the physical realm is very important and we love everyone, the spiritual is eternal. And if we don't preach the gospel and teach the word and people walk away from the spiritual realm, we may save them physically, but we lose them forever into eternity. So he decided to keep meeting. And of course, they made it through that. And they even had some deaths within their fellowship. And again, God was faithful to them through that entire process. Matter of fact, he made another statement. He said, I find that when people are dying, they're much more open to the gospel. Now, I'm not that bold to say that. Charles Spurgeon was very bold. I'm sure he took a lot of heat for that. But there's something that death does. It makes you recognize, I need to deal with my spirit. 10 out of every 10 die. There's nobody in here that's not going to lose your body. Now, you're not going to die if you know the Lord because you're alive spiritually. God's in control of when you go. Now, am I saying everybody be foolish? No, be wise. And let me even say this. I'll tell you what I do. And some of you are going to get mad at me for this, but it's just how it is. When I'm around people that are doing that, even though I know the science now that, again, according to these guys out of Denmark and the rest, that the masks really don't make a difference, you know what I do? I put a mask on. And here's why. Remember Jesus with Peter? And he was there, and it was at the beginning of this thing, there was a lot of people saying, I'm not wearing a mask no matter what. Look, okay, I'm not going to get in a fight with you about that, but here's the bottom line. We have to be willing to die to ourselves for the sake of others that we don't make them stumble or fall away. And the governmental leaders came to Peter and said, is your master not going to pay the temple tax? They were the ones running the government. It was the Sadducees and Pharisees. They were the modern-day Congress. And Peter's like, well, I don't know. And he runs to Jesus and goes, are we paying the temple tax? He goes, look, you're a child of the king. You don't have to follow that. But so that we don't make them stumble. Go catch a fish, even let Peter have fun fishing, right? Catch a fish, take out the coin, pay the temple tax. Modern day translation, if everybody's freaking out around you, put on a mask. It's okay. Don't let them stumble because of your freedom. Put on a mask, even though you know the science, that's okay. But don't cause them to stumble. It's just called being loving, laying down ourselves for others and not judging others. And yet also using that balance and wisdom in the midst of it. And that's what we have to have. And so The Bible also says the entire world will come under, again, this oppressive power of this one world government, as we said. I want to give you a verse of that as well. Look at Daniel 11:36 says this. Then the king, in the context, if you go back and read it, this is speaking of the Antichrist. Then the king, the Antichrist, shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. Here's the bottom line. He doesn't want anybody else worshiped. He's not going to allow there to be any other type of worship. And so he's going to shut it down. So what we should be watching for is the headwinds of that. He goes on and says, he shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods and shall prosper until the wrath has been accomplished. That is Revelation. We're talking about that wrath. For what has been determined shall be done. This means he will eventually do away with the worship of any other god or any other celebration that honors God, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Does anyone see the headwinds of the spirit of the Antichrist attacking holidays that lift up Jesus Christ? Oh, don't you dare worship. Don't you dare have Thanksgiving. Don't you dare have Christmas. Don't you care? Of course we care. And for that 0.0003% that are dying in Knox County, we need to be very careful. But when it comes to worshiping God, we're going to worship him and we're going to honor him. Now, I'm not saying flaunt it. I'm not saying be rude about it, but I'm saying enjoy the holidays and worship the Lord. The spirit of Antichrist is eventually, listen, when he comes into power, no one will worship, will have Christmas. No one will have Thanksgiving. No one will do, nobody, even Ramadan, even the false religions, he won't allow them to do. All holidays will be canceled because everyone must bow to him as God. He won't allow it. Everyone else will bow down. Now, that means we should be seeing the headwinds of that. Are we seeing the headwinds of that? You better believe it. Again, you're watching it happen right before your very eyes. Again, the government of the freest nation of the world, America, is now clamping down on its population, removing its freedoms, bringing oppression on its people like never before in American history. And again, this is exactly what the Bible says will happen in the last days. Now, as we come to chapter 7, that was just the intro. We're going 3 hours today, so we're going to have lunch brought in. Wouldn't that be great one day to have lunch brought in? Y'all just sit there. You probably wouldn't. No, that wouldn't be great, Pastor. That wouldn't be great. But as we come to chapter 7, where we're taking up now is in chapter 6, we saw the first six seals opened. All right? The first six seals were opened. Now we come to the seventh seal, and we're going to be introduced in the seventh seal to the 144,000. And before we jump in it, I want to say very quickly about the 144,000. Many false religions have used the 144,000 to deceive many people into thinking it was just their group, or they're this, or they're that. It was used wrongfully. Again, who were some of those that did that? Jehovah's Witnesses made this claim until their numbers passed 144,000. And they were like, we have new insight. And they suddenly, yeah, I guess it's more than that. Church of God did it for a while till they got new insight. Seventh-day Adventists, you know, for a long time, we're the 144,000. It's a spiritual delusion because people, again, also part of the reason is God's going to show us exactly who it is in detail. It's because they're not believing the Bible literally. The Bible tells us it is 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. Now, again, when I say we believe the Bible literally, I want to say this. What I mean by that is this. Are there symbols? Are there pictures? Jesus said, I'm the door. He's not a piece of wood. We know that. But get this, we're going to see a dragon later on in John's vision, right? Behind every dragon, behind every door, behind every vision is a literal meaning every time. You will never find a place in the Bible that there's not a literal meaning behind what the Lord is saying. And why is that important? Because here's why God wrote the Bible this way. There's a reason. If the Bible is not to be taken literally, then anybody can make it mean whatever they want. And if I'm a good teacher, and if I'm charismatic, and if I can convince you, then I can tell you what it really means rather than what it really says. And the problem with that is I've now become the authority rather than this. This is the authority. And that's why we have to believe what it says, and why it says here is 12,000 from every tribe. I believe it's 12,000 from every tribe. But we don't know who the tribes are. I'm sure God's out there going, that's right. I don't know the 12 tribes. I'm just God Almighty. I could never find these guys. Ah, okay, new plan. Group, come on, group in. Everybody get in. He knows exactly where they are. He knows who they are. He knows where they are, and he's going to bring them together, and he's going to save them. 12,000 right off the bat from each tribe, 144,000. That's exactly what's going to happen, so we have to understand it that way. Let's jump into it. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Now, let me just say right away, this is where sometimes critics of the Bible will attack and say, see, the Bible's outdated. It doesn't know what it's talking about. There aren't four corners to the earth. Listen, that was simply an illustration, the same way we use it today. The military still talks about the four corners of the earth. As a matter of fact, how many of you watch the sunrise? Shocker, the sun doesn't rise. We're moving. The sun is sitting still right where it is. And yet, what do we say every morning? Oh, look, the sunrise. Oh, so we're all lying and deluded, right? No, we know what we mean. It's the same thing here. God's using an analogy. He's using something to make the point. And he says, it just means the whole world. And he says, look at these angels. They're holding the winds of the earth that they shouldn't blow on the earth. Can you imagine? Look at the power of the angels, first of all. They've got the power just to stop the winds. What kind of power is that, right? Now think about the world right now. Suddenly all the winds stop. Just whoosh. Think of how silent the world would feel. You know, if you're up on some mountain and the wind's just blowing super hard like a blizzard, right? And all of a sudden, it's just beautiful. It's falling straight down. It gets very quiet, very silent. Think about it. It wouldn't be as beautiful if you're in a sailboat on the ocean. What now, guys? Pray. Lord, send wind, right? All the sails just go, everything stops around the world. Imagine just, it's almost like between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, God says, earth, be quiet. Just be silent before me. I've got something to say. I'm not done with Israel. I'm going to get 12,000 from each tribe, and I'm going to save them and anoint them, and they're going to be my evangelists because I'm taking my church out of here in the rapture. And the whole world's just quiet, waiting on God to move. Beautiful. And so he says, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. So God has a seal. I love this. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Now note this. Again, we noted over and over, Satan's an imitator. Even as God has the Trinity, there's going to be an unholy Trinity that's going to be at the end. Everything that God does, Satan imitates. He can't be greater than God because God's the greatest. So he's trying to imitate God and take the place of Jesus Christ by presenting himself as the Savior of the world and this leader that's going to come out of Europe. But what's interesting here is notice he says that he puts the seal of the living God on them. And what it means is that everyone here on the earth, when he's going to save the 12,000 from each tribe, he's going to put his mark on them, the seal of God on them. But that means that you as a believer, you've got the seal of God as well. We see this in other places in Scripture. Right now, you have the seal of God on you. And while you can't see it, the enemy can see it, and it's on your forehead. Now, if it's on your forehead, why do you think Satan wants to put a mark on the forehead and the hand? He's imitating God. Probably the reason the hand's included is for practical reasons. If it's a spiritual thing, forehead works. But if you got to go buy your groceries, it's kind of hard to. Could you do that again, sir? It didn't take. Okay. Could you do it for me? Yeah. So the hand, right? The hand. And so he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly. And he seals them on their foreheads. Now, what is this seal? This is so cool. Okay? Revelation 14:1 tells us what the seal is. Look at this. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000. Here they are getting saved, and here he's talking about them, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Guess what's on your forehead this morning, guys? Yahweh. No way. Yahweh. Right now. The enemy sees it. It's there. You belong to God. Is that cool or what? Now, where else do we see this? God says that's how he's going to protect us. That's how the enemy can't get to us. We see this again in Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. It says, then he called out of my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near with a deadly weapon in his hand. God is sending angels. Here's the context. God is sending angels to judge Jerusalem, because they've been rebelling against God for years and years and years, and God's warned them and warned them, and God says, now it's time for judgment. You've turned away, and it's going to even affect your families. And suddenly six men, these are angels, it will be revealed as we read on. Angels are often referred to as men. Six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with a linen and had a writer's inkhorn on his side. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. And the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn on his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it. You go and put a mark on everyone who grieves over the sin of their nation and grieves over their own sin and those that have repented. You mark them because they're mine. Is that great or what? He says to the others, go through the city and kill. Don't let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone whom is the mark or on whom is in the mark is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Again, Satan imitating God. Again, like it says, he's going to be doing. And notice this, not only is it going to be happening, what else should we be watching for, okay? If this mark is coming for those who don't have the seal of God on their forehead, and by the way, the shot is not the mark. I want to encourage you guys. The shot is not the mark. It's up to you and God what vaccine you take or don't take. I'm saying that's not the mark. The mark is going to be done by a specific leader out of Europe, and he will put it on your, it'll be made to be put on the head or the hand, and you're going to be out of here before that anyway. So don't think this is the mark. This is conditioning for the mark. This is getting everyone used to doing what the government tells them. Everyone getting in line. Even the way we're handling the COVID is exact. Listen to this. How many of you have been someplace where you walk in and before they let you in, they hold something under your forehead? Have you been there? Now I know, well, they're taking your temperature. That's right, but what's happening? You're being conditioned to be scanned. It's very normal. That's normal. There's nothing wrong. That's normal. Everybody does. That's normal. Really? Why the forehead? Well, I don't know. I talked to one of our students here at the public school that goes here to Calvary. Every day before they can enter the school, they have to put their hand up on a thing and let it be held there to get their temperature on their wrist before they can go into school. The next generation is being conditioned for a scanning on the wrist. We're being conditioned right now for a scanning on the head. These are the headwinds, no pun intended. It's happening. Look, all I'm saying is you're watching it. Don't miss this, okay? Don't miss it. This is the Bible. We're not talking about somebody with little, you know, aluminum hats on and making, this is the Bible, okay? There's a big difference in God's word and what we would call a conspiracy theory. We're watching it. And he says, seal them on their foreheads. Notice this. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. And now he tells us who they are, so we don't have to guess. Of the tribes of the children of Israel. God said in the last days, I'm pouring my spirit out on the nation of Israel. The church is going to be gone. So God's going to raise up 144,000 from each tribe to be the world evangelists. I've heard it said they're going to be like 144,000 Billy Grahams all over the world, right? And they're going to be sharing the gospel because God's going to save people during that time. We're going to see that more in just a moment. Where are the tribes from? Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Again, 12,000 from each tribe. Now, sometimes God combines tribes or spreads them out where it comes out to the number 12, but he's mixed other tribes in. And that's what he did here. You'll notice one is left out, but we still have 12 tribes. The tribe of Dan is missing. Now, we don't know exactly why. Some believe that maybe that indicates that the Antichrist will be from the tribe of Dan. I don't know. And so they're excluded. I don't think so. It might be. But again, it's interesting that Dan was the first tribe to introduce idolatry into the nation of Israel when they came in the land. And I think it's a chastisement for them allowing that idolatry to come in. They're left out of those that get saved at the very last days. However, will those from the tribe of Dan be saved? Absolutely. How do we know? Because when you get to the millennial kingdom, guess who one of the tribes is that gets a portion of land in the 1,000-year reign? The tribe of Dan. What that shows us is we have a good father that spanks his kids, but when the spank is over, we're restored back to the family. Isn't that great? And maybe some of you said, I've been spanked a lot, you know, and I think God's done away. No, God hasn't done away with you. God chastises his kids, but he restores us. And he brings us back in because he loves us. And so there they are, all named. And notice verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations. Notice the word all nations, all tribes, all peoples, all tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I love this. So all nations, all tribes are represented there in heaven. All of them. And it's interesting that John was able to tell they were from different tribes and nations. Are we going to look similar in heaven as we do on earth? I don't know. You know, we'll find out. But he could tell they were from different tribes. He could tell they were from different nations. He could tell where they were from. And so they're all there, one family in God, worshiping and praising and crying. Notice this, I love it. It says they're waving palm branches. Why is that interesting to me? Because palm branches is what they waved at the Feast of Tabernacles. And guess what feast we'll still be celebrating during the 1,000-year reign, the Bible tells us? The Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to be waving palm branches as well. And he sees all of them there. By the way, did you know you're in the Bible? John is futuristically seeing the crowds after the rapture in heaven praising God. Guess who that is? It's you. This is you. You will be a part of this multitude shouting and praising and waving palm branches. Make sure you get this so you don't look like you don't know what you're doing, because I'm going to say, yeah, they came from Calvary Chapel, right? What do we do next? Just give me that palm branch. I'm being silly. You're going to know for sure, but you get the point. But this is you. It's you. You're there. And we're giving praise. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne. They worship God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So there's just incredible praise bursting forth there in the kingdom. And it says, then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where do they come from? Now, John didn't ask this question. But the angel obviously wanted John to know the answer. So the angel goes, so, hey, who are these guys? Well, first I'm telling you, it's you. Partly. But it's more than just you. He goes on with a further definition. Listen to who else this is. He says, who are they? He says, I said to him, sir, you know, I don't know. I mean, you're the one. I'm just visiting. I'll be back later. But you tell me what's happening here. And he said, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. If you're under a lot of that, may be a good one. And here's why I say that. People ask me all the time, will anybody be saved after the rapture? Will people get saved during the great tribulation? It says right here very clearly, yes, indeed, they will. And it says that multitudes will. Well, Mark, who are they? The rapture's already happened. This is your family and your friends and the people you love and others that have heard the gospel over and over, but they didn't receive it. They decided they didn't want the Lord. They were left behind. And after they saw us disappear, they chose Christ. Now listen, if that's you this morning, don't wait. It's much easier on our end of things, because the Bible says we'll be taken out of here before all this happens. There's going to be horrible things happening during the great tribulation. It says that men will want to die but not be able to. It's going to be horrible. And if you say, well, I'll just wait until then. If you guys disappear, then I'll do. It's too late. You're going to go through it now. How much better to make a decision right now? Don't let pride, don't let whatever it is that's holding you back keep you from making that decision. God, by the Spirit, is making an appeal to you this morning. Be a part of this crowd. Don't be the ones that come out of the great tribulation. Be the ones that leave before it starts. And so these come out of the great tribulation, and notice they're washed. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So they've been saved by the Lord. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. I love it. Now, before I read 16, let's remember what was just happening to them. We're going to be reading in Revelation about the trumpets and the bowls and the fact there's going to be famine and hunger and thirst and all these horrible things happening. And listen, this is wild. The Bible says that the sun is going to get 7 times hotter during the great tribulation. You talk about global warming. That's global melting. And man didn't do it. Carbon emissions not going to reach the sun. The sun, by God's direction, will get hotter. Hey, I don't know the science on what's heating or what's not heating, but if something really is, that wouldn't surprise me. It's the headwinds of what God said is coming. None of that surprises me. And no matter what we do, we can't stop prophecy. No matter what I drive or don't drive, it isn't going to affect that the sun's going to get 7 times hotter. But think about this. You ever been somewhere and the sun's so hot the air conditioner can't keep up? Now do that times 7. People are going to be scorched with heat. They're going to be miserable, okay? Now this makes sense in context. Look at verse 16. They shall neither hunger anymore. That'll happen during the great tribulation. Nor thirst anymore. That as well. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Now you know why they're before the throne of God saying, thank you. Thank you for delivering me. You know, nobody's going to be standing over there going, I can't believe you made me go through that. That was so mean. That was so, how could, nobody's going to grumble against God. We see here, they're going to be going, you deserve all glory and honor and power because you have rescued me. I deserved down there to roast. I deserved all that I had. But you in your mercy, when I repented, you called me up and you brought me into the kingdom with you. How I wish I'd have done it before that. But you know what? I'm here now. Praise the Lord. And everybody's worshiping. For the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and will lead them to the fountains, the living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Beautiful. There's a lot of tears already, are there not? Imagine the tears in the great tribulation. He's going to wipe them all away. And never again will we have any more tears. Listen, I make an appeal to any of you this morning. As the body of Christ, as I said, it's time to wake up. This is time. It's happening. You're watching it. Be aware. Don't be like those in Jesus' day who couldn't recognize the signs of the times. They're not only around us, they're around us in loud volume. They're screaming at us from every news report and everywhere all over the place. That's what's happening. But if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, listen, now's the time to get in. Don't wait until after. Don't say, well, yeah, if that really happens, I'll make a decision then. Because once this starts, there's no escape. You're in there until you die for your faith or until the elements of this world kill you. I mean, everybody's worried about the environment, and I get all that. I get that. God controls that. And God's going to keep everything just fine until we're out of here. And you want to see the environment go south? It's going to go south really fast and very violently. But not because of what mankind is doing, but because of what mankind didn't do. They didn't receive Jesus Christ and the hope of God who would have kept them safe and brought them out of that. So you have a choice this morning. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to give your life to the Lord or are you going to continue to deny? I make an appeal to you. Look, I'm not going to try to talk you into anything. I make an appeal to you. Don't be foolish. Make a decision for the Lord. Because it's going to be something that when we're suddenly gone, it's going to haunt you. And even if you do get in, I don't know, people say, well, maybe I'll say the prayer afterwards. If you don't really want to say the prayer now, why do you think after we're gone and God's church is gone from the earth that you're going to be moved to do it then? The Bible says there'll be a great falling away in the last days. I make the appeal. Receive Jesus. It's so simple, but it takes humility. You have to say, okay, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me on the cross, and now I give my life to you. And the Bible says if you do that, you will be born again, and you will have your place in the kingdom of God. And you're going to be a part of that crowd up there rejoicing rather than those that are down are saying, God, have mercy, or those that are shaking their fist at heaven. So let's pray and ask God to give you an opportunity to do that if some of you want to do that this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that you've shown us as your church what's going to happen, that we don't have to be afraid. God, that we can have confidence that you're in control, Lord, that you're running the show and you've warned us. Lord, your word says the whole world is going to be under strong delusion and it has already, obviously, already begun. And so I pray that you would keep our eyes open. I pray that if there's any of us in here as believers that have let ourselves get a little bit sleepy or maybe even gone to sleep spiritually, that now would be the time we would wake up and recognize what's happening all around us. And Lord, walk in the fullness of the Spirit that we might be a light to the world around us until you come and take your bride off this earth for what is coming very quickly. And Lord, if there's any here this morning who don't know you, and this morning for the first time you've revealed to them that they need to receive you as Lord and Savior, I just pray that right now they would just confess their sin, they would tell you they believe in your blood on that cross to wash them clean, and they'd receive you as Lord and Savior that they might be saved and not just escape the great tribulation, but Lord, that they might be rescued from their sin and have eternal life in the kingdom of God. If that's you, make that decision this morning. The Lord is ready and waiting on you to pray that prayer. So Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.